Adventurer! You're back! Over here.
So then, what are you having? It's your call.
Hi there, folks. Welcome to episode 3 of You Call the Shots, where we take those good old Choose Your Own Adventure books and introduce the one missing ingredient, alcohol. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Jack.
I'm Dylan. I don't know.
Yeah,
who
you had
Dylan.
I don't know who the fuck. You're not drunk yet. How are you already confused?
I mean, I'm like 2 beers in already. That was a long setup.
This
so.
Is what we call a sneak preview. He's going to say, when we start getting drunk, the words will slur together.
I mean, if you play them backwards, yeah.
I'll be honest, I didn't have anything to do, so I've been drinking over here. Yeah, sure.
It's okay, we can edit that part.
No, it's fine.
Either we have to edit that out, or I think he's saying we have to catch up.
I'm a real person.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta say, John, the last time we did something when it was the three of us doing this, I mistakenly called Jack out for several things that I said that he had said that he did not. I actually said and was completely wrong about, and then started accusing him of shit. So, yeah. Jack, I apologize for that. I'll try not to do that this time, but...
Noted. Noted. I'd just like to point out the record that, one, he has finally apologized to me, and two, that was actually very polite of you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're still a bitch, though. I just want to make that clear.
And you blew the one beautiful moment we were going to have. But maybe with alcohol and story, we can fix that again.
Yeah, I don't have much hope in that, but, you know, we'll see.
I'm trying to be an optimist.
Anything is possible. Not guaranteed, but anything is possible.
Not guaranteed.
All right. So if you've listened to the first two episodes, I feel like they went pretty well, but we're going to make a couple adjustments to the rules just to simplify things, because as the amount of alcohol goes up, the complexity of the rules is not something that we want to focus on, and it gets all messy. So the one rule we are going to keep for sure is that we are going to do a car bomb if we get through this book without dying once and we manage to get that perfect, perfect win.
Which has happened.
Yep. It happened in the very first episode. There you go.
Yeah. Well, we found the throne of Zeus, which was a lot easier than I expected it to be.
Yeah. Like we got the things and we got it done. But so we're going to keep that rule. But as far as like invoking the thumb and turning back and blah, 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 like... way too complicated. So instead, we're just going to go with a very simple three lives rule. If we die three times, we lose three times. That's it. We lose the book and we're done. But once we lose a life, we'll finish our drink and then continue back from whichever decision that we want to go back to. If we want to go back to the beginning, great. If not, meh. And the other thing is, as far as betting drinks goes, loosening the rules on that a bit, if any one of us feels the need to bet drinks at any time for whatever reason, we can do so. But we're also going to try and bet more drinks on these decisions, even if they're easy ones.
So also, just to clarify, for every choice that has to be made, right, we have to bet. We have to bet, right?
Yes.
Yes.
It's not an option anymore.
Correct. Yep. So we got to bet drinks. We got to keep that alcohol flowing.
We are upping the stakes.
Yeah. And something we're going to try out here is we're going to call the sudden death rule, where if there is a decision that we feel all very clearly that this is going to lead to the end, this is going to be a death, we can call it out on that, call a sudden death. And if it is a sudden death, then... we get to see whatever wacky kind of, I'm assuming, whatever kind of wacky death it is, because let's be real, none of these books make any damn sense.
Death by wacky wave, inflatable arm,
flailing. I wouldn't even say it's like a death. It's just like they put you in the corner, like, oh, you have amnesia, you can't remember the whole event, or you're now just broke and you can't get a cab home. And
yeah,
you stop there.
Exactly. Like, that could be the difference is it could be a hard game over where like the room fills with poison gas, or.
And you actually die.
Yeah, or like wandering through the mists of Stonehenge and you're just lost forever and you turn into Brigadoon all of a sudden. Yeah,
or like you meet up with a fairy, she gives you a beer, and then next thing you know, like, I'm in 1402. Oh my God. Time travel.
Yeah. Which also, fun fact, I looked at it afterward. We were giving the book shit for calling it The Henge instead of Stonehenge, thinking it was like some like, you know, like weird slang. Like, oh yeah, all the cool kids call it The Henge. Turns out, henge is actually a word for like that circle of stones in Yeah, it's actually a thing. So that's okay. That's on us.
People call it just Henge, or it's the Henge. Like, we're going to go to the Henge to get the beer.
So Stonehenge is Stonehenge, but like out of that, the word Henge came to describe any sort of that old ceremonial stone circle of stones.
Jack, are you saying Stonehenge is where people used to go to get beer from?
No, they would get the beer and then go to Stonehenge, and they'd do the rituals, and they'd drink the beer afterwards.
Make out point was at Stonehenge.
I think we'd be a little more respectful. That's in the parking lot to Stonehenge.
That's what Stonehenge was for.
No, it's Stonehenge. It's where they go. Out. They get stoned and then make out.
Bro, we're going make to Stonehenge.
And what are we reading this time?
Yeah, so this time we are going to read The Trumpet of Terror by Deborah Lerm Goodman. Let's go with Lerm.
Just gotta say, it does not sound that scary. It's a fucking trumpet.
But it's terror.
This is a terror trumpet, Dylan.
If this trumpet screams terror every time, you know, somebody plays it, sure.
But think about this. You hear a trumpet, and every time it plays a note, it's just screams and hellfire and horror. And if you hit a note slightly lower than that tone, you die.
Just that's like fucking terror. The brown note.
I was gonna say, ask the brown note.
So,
any learning student on a trumpet that like just terrible screeching sound that comes out of the trumpet?
Yeah,
they just don't know how to play it.
And he's too nice. No one has the heart to tell him he's not good at it.
All right, this one's from 1985. On the cover here, I don't. Oh, okay.
We survived 1984.
I take it back. I was gonna say I don't see a trumpet on the cover, but I take it back. We've got this red cloaked figure. I assume that's us with a big ass hawk. Horn. A hawk on his arm. We've got a armored Viking in the background with a Viking ship. But he is holding... Yeah, it's the trumpet itself. It's like one of those...
It looks like a fucking tuba. It doesn't look like a trumpet.
Yeah, that looks like a sousaphone. It wraps around your entire body.
Mm-hmm. Like one of those old horns, like the Viking horns you see in the movies or whatnot, where they like...
Yeah, like it's made out of like a horn or something.
Oh,
yeah.
That's straight up like the dragon horn they always used.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right, so let's get started. Oh, shoot. The inside cover, we've got a dragon, so we may encounter some sort of dragon the trumpet of terror.
Or
does the trumpet summon a dragon?
Or do we use the dragon to summon the trumpet?
That'd be the dumbest fucking thing.
Hold up. So instead of finding a trumpet that summons a dragon, we're going to somehow find a dragon...
To summon a terror trumpet.
The dragon's most prized possession in all this mortal world is the golden trumpet. What's so terrible about it? It's slightly flat and out of tune no matter how much we tune it.
Oh god, that is terrible.
Yeah, it's the unpitch-perfect trumpet.
Oh lord, there's a Norse pronunciation guide here at the beginning.
All right.
Oh, God.
We're going Scandinavian.
Oh,
Doesn't sound good at all. Sounds like we're going to be in for a tongue twister of an evening.
We're going to be talking like Torbjorn from the whole time.
That sounds Scottish or Irish.
That was actually, it's Swedish.
Or, yeah,
have you
Swedish.
Ever played Overwatch?
I can listen to people talk.
You know, I'm going to wing it on these Norths. I'm not going to flip back and forth to this pronunciation.
Actually, I might be able
time.
To look at some of them.
Nope. Too much time.
Scalding, Mjolnir.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Shalv's blood.
I can't tell you if you're right or not if I can't see the words, Jack.
All right.
That's fair.
Okay.
Just nickname them or something.
Well, we've got some, quote, special information for this book. It's like we've got some background Norse mythology.
Ooh,
yeah,
neat.
Hundreds and hundreds of years ago, during the Age of Vikings, the people of Scandinavia believed that an enormous ash tree called Yggdrasil supported the universe. Within this universe were many different worlds. Midgard was the most familiar of them because it was where human beings lived. Yay. Next to Midgard was Jotunheim, the icy home of the frost giants. You know, watching Thor has helped helps a lot
God
for these
War
pronunciations.
Too.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's the place you go before you like kill everyone there.
You know, spoiler. gnomes and dwarves lived in their own land under the earth, and even farther below, beyond the roots of Yggdrasil, were two more worlds: Muspelheim, home of the fire demons, and the underworlds ruled by the grotesque goddess Hel. Well, that's not very imaginative.
No, not at all.
Actually, there is imaginative because, get this.
We need to give her a bad name. Let's call her Hell.
But we use one L because that's creative.
I was about to say, that's yeah, that's the creative part, is that there is just one L in Hell.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's really,
wait,
it
so
then.
When we say we go to Hell, we're going to the goddess Hell or like the fire pits and inferno of like Dante's Hell?
Yes.
Exactly.
All right, I'm going to speed through the rest of this. Within the many branches of Yggdrasil were Alfheim, the land of the elves, and Vanaheim, the home of the Vanir gods, and Anaheim, the home of the mighty ducks. Between these two worlds and the highest heaven was Asgard, home of the Aesir gods and goddesses. Radiant rainbow bridges connected Asgard and Midgard. Human beings could not normally ascend the bridges, but they were well-traveled by the Aesir. Oh, boy. Odin, the one-eyed father of this clan, took a special interest in earthly events. After a visit to Midgard, Odin would ride back to Asgard on Sleipnir. Sleipnir? Okay, Sleipnir. I will look in this one. Sleipnir.
Sleipnir. It's like you're going in reverse.
Exactly. His eight-legged horse. I mean, that's about the noise that I would call this eight-legged horse.
That poor horse. He's probably freaking out just, oh my god, I can't stop running!
Or I guess Odin's just a little chubby. Nothing wrong with that. Just needs a horse with some extra legs. At top of the rainbow, he would greet his son Heimdall, the gatekeeper. Then he would hurry on to see his wife Frigg. Sometimes Odin spotted trouble in Midgard. More often than not, this was the work of Loki, Odin's evil blood brother.
Damn you, Tom Hiddleston!
Exactly. Yeah, I'm just... I wish I had a good Tom Hiddleston, because I am sure Loki's going to pop up, but I don't know, there's not really a good
Tom
Hiddleston.
What about if we did, like,
voice.
James Woods was Hades? You can try, like, James Woods as Loki.
Lord, I can... I didn't have a good James Woods as Hades, much less as Loki. Okay. Fortunately, Odin was able to solve most of these problems with the help of his most powerful son, Thor. A mighty hammer and a strength-increasing belt made Thor nearly invincible. The Aesir gods and goddesses enjoyed perfect health and even immortality thanks to the magical golden apples tended by the goddess Idun. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. It's spelled I don't know without a no. I don't know. Life in Asgard was happy and full of celebrations until now. Gulveig, a beautiful but evil witch, has come to visit and has decided to stay. Troubles multiply so quickly that Odin cannot handle them, even with Thor's help. He realizes he has to seek aid outside Asgard. There is only one human being he can turn to.
Kratos?
And it is you.
Whoa. Why?
I don't know.
Why the fuck did you pick me?
Because you're a very special 9-year-old.
Yeah!
According to this book.
Dylan, the 9-year-old, still 6'6". It's like, you're taller than most NBA players. So
hey, guys. Did you finish last night's homework?
God, I already need a drink after getting through all that lore. Here we go.
I colored inside the lines in mine.
Aren't you proud of me, Dad?
Dad.
Dad!
Oh, and then we have the Star Wars crawl. Okay. Beware and warning, this book is different from other books. You and you alone are in charge of what happens in this story. There are dangerous choices, adventures, and consequences. You must use all of your numerous talents and much of your enormous intelligence. The wrong decision could end in disaster, even death. But don't despair. At any time, you can go back and make another choice, alter the path of your story, and change its result after drinking heavily. You and your best friend, Nils, have always dreamed of sailing the seas, but on the morning of your departure, you are approached by Odin, the Norse father of gods. The gods are in danger and desperately need your help. Why you? In addition to your bravery and cunning, you are the keeper of the Trumpet of Terror. A magical horn that causes enemies to surrender instantly. So you already have the trumpet.
Yeah,
okay.
What the fuck?
Okay. So Odin's saying that my playing is so bad, he needs me to ward off the other witches.
No,
like,
but
yeah,
this...
Everyone surrenders instantly. It's like, nope, stop it. I can't take anymore. Just stop playing the goddamn
this
trumpet.
Is an open and closed book. Yeah. You have the Trumpet of Terror. Close the book. You win.
Yeah.
Wait.
This is, yeah, done. This is like Majora's Mask, where you already have Majora's Mask. Okay,
all right, you're done. Wait, no, beat the game. Let's
do
a car bomb.
Technically, we still have to accept the quest from Odin saying, we need the trumpet, and then you accept the quest and say, I have it here.
Oh,
question
this is
over.
This is going to be like one of those games where you have everything, and then about 10 minutes in...
You lose it all.
Yes, you go back to zero.
So it's a Metroid.
Everyone enjoys
it's a Metroid
that.
Game.
Yes, it's Metroid / Destiny 2, et cetera, et cetera. Will you help Odin defeat the evil witch Gulveig? If you so choose, you may fly like a falcon, join forces with the mighty Thor, travel through the underworld, or come face to face with dragons and demons. Good luck.
I love the fact that it's like, if you choose yes, turn to page 2. If not, turn to the next to last page. And then it says, oh, you didn't accept the quest, but guess what? You're killed anyway.
All right. Here we go. First page. We're all in this Viking ship here. It's actually pretty good art.
I don't like how this starts already. How did I get there?
We were already sailing with Nils.
All your life, you've waited eagerly for your first ocean voyage, and on this summer morning in the year 938, you are finally setting sail for Iceland from the bustling Danish port of Sindberg. As you help the crew load the last of the supplies on the longship, your friend Nils comments, okay, so if we're Danish, what's even a Danish accent?
I don't know. No idea.
You might try something like this.
That's not going to get old at all.
Swedish.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
Talking Swedish.
I'm going to go with that because that's the closest I got.
Just say your W's like V's. Yeah.
Oh, but we're kids, though, so.
Yammy.
For lucky, the captain has given us this chance to roll with the men.
Going Irish.
Yeah.
Roll with the men.
I never said
that. He was a Dane, but he was raised in Ireland. Happy Leif Erikson Day.
Yeah. Okay, for these kids, I'm just going to forego the accent because that...
That's too much work.
Just go for it.
All right, I'll try it. You nod your head in agreement. Ever since I inherited Odin's trumpet of terror from my father, I've had good luck. Yeah, that is Irish. That's straight up Irish.
This is Patsy O'Brien. Our producer Diana is just like not even impressed.
Yeah. Right. You glance proudly at the curved golden horn hanging from your belt. Giggity. A long time ago, Odin, father of the gods, presented it to your great-grandfather as a symbol of your family's wisdom and courage. Nils watches you enviously.
All right, so great-granddad did something cool to, like, earn favor with the gods.
Yeah. Nils watches you enviously. That trumpet must be great in battle. Just imagine, you blow that horn and your enemies are so frightened by the sound that they surrender immediately. Why don't you blow it right now and see what happens?
Fuck off, Nils.
Nils, that's such a... It's called the trumpet of terror. Like, why would you blow it?
I notice you have a very sacred heirloom.
Nils sounds like he's Loki.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Yeah, I think... either Nils has been Loki the whole time, or
the whole one page.
Nils is like in the boat, and Loki is trying to fuck shit up.
Or Nils a descendant or worshipper of Loki.
No, because Loki's in the book.
Nils, you exclaim, I can blow the trumpet of terror only once. I have to save it for a serious emergency. Now let's go. We're the only ones who aren't on board. Doing my best. As you make your way along the crowded dock, you see a tall man wearing a blue cloak spangled with thousands of silver stars. Uncle Sam? To your surprise, you notice he's staring at you intently with a single piercing eye. With a shiver, you recall that Odin has only one eye.
Oh, shit.
So clearly we can trust the stranger.
Yeah, this is the guy we're staring at here.
That doesn't give it away at all.
Nope.
That's sick. Beard though.
Like, look how long his fingernails are. He's got like fucking claws coming out of his fingers.
He's got some Freddy Krueger nails.
Those are
nails
straight
here.
Up coke nails on every single finger.
Why do you call him the all seeing and the all father? He's just so coked up. He can see everything at once.
Yeah, what else are you gonna do as an all powerful god?
So otherwise he looks like Zeus missing one eye.
Yeah.
He sold it for
Zeus,
his own.
Zeus with one eye and coke nails. Alright. You grab Nils by the shoulder. I'm sorry, guys. I'm abandoning the accent. Do you see that man watching me? I think he may be Odin. I'll do it for Nils. Nils glares at you with exasperation. Ever since you got that horn, you thought you were special. But there's no reason Odin would care so much about you. Ever since you got that whore. That whore of terror. Besides, that man looks too weary to be a god. I guess gods don't get tired. Just as you decide Nils must be right, the one-eyed stranger beckons you. You freeze in your tracks. Hurry up, cries Nils. The captain won't wait much longer for us. So if you tell Nils, go on without me. I want to find out if that man really is Odin. We flip to the next page. If you answer, all right, I'm coming, turn to page 10. So you can either go check out this person who's clearly Odin, or ignore it.
Oh, let's go check it out. Are you kidding me?
I want to talk to Mr. Sir Anthony Hopkins, aka Odin. Thank you very much.
All right.
Yeah.
So are we all betting our drinks that this will?
I bet my tankard survive? On Odin.
Yeah. Yeah, I think.
Yeah. All right. Yep.
Let's go.
We wager one drink.
Okay. You walk over to the stranger, gazing into his single eye. You whisper, "Are you Odin?"
Wow, he's not subtle at all.
That's so creepy. Are you my all father? Like, ooh.
I mean, your words, not mine. All right, he's Odin.
Yes, he replies, and I need your help desperately. There is serious trouble in Asgard, home of the gods.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Brano version so I can do British instead of, like, Norwegian or whatever the fuck. Okay.
We've tried everything we can to think of to solve the problem. Please come. You're my last hope.
Oh, getting a little Princess Leia here. Me? You can hardly believe your ears.
Your family has always been as clever as it is courageous, Odin tells you. What's more, you are the bravest and brightest of all. No other human being can help the gods. Will you come with me?
You nod solemnly.
All right.
Wow. He does know how to flatter a person. Odin leads you away from the harbor and explains.
As you know, I am the father of the Aesir gods. Our neighbors, the Vanir gods, are generally friendly, but one of them, an evil witch named Gullveig, has made herself at home in Asgard. She was our guest at first, but now she won't leave. She's making the Aesir gods miserable. We have to wait on her, dance for her, even give her our gold. We've all become sad and tired, worried and sick.
So he needs our help to get rid of a house guest who has overstayed their welcome.
Don't want to be rude about it, you know?
So
you
that's why he wants the trumpet.
The Asgard Airbnb sounded great to design.
Yeah.
Just get the trumpet to make him run.
You just, and it's like, oh, I hope you don't mind. We've got a
new guest here. He plays the trumpet, if you don't mind.
You play it so horribly that she has no choice but to get the fuck out.
In fact, it's like, we wanted to be generous, but she's been here for a little longer, so we want her to suffer with the horn of terror.
Look, we offered her the guest room, and I regret it entirely.
We've got another situation in there. Loki has brought home some snakes. It's a long story.
Also, she's just the worst. If she were cool, that would be one thing, but she is just the worst.
I just picture Odin now as perfect cell. I can't even unsee that now.
Okay, here we go. You can't force her to leave, you ask.
He shakes his head. She has a power over us. It's called politeness. And besides, we don't dare offend the Vanir. If we resort to violence, there's no telling how they will react. I don't want to risk our peaceful relations.
I understand, you reply. You reach the edge of town and find an 8-legged horse tied to a tree.
I'm afraid you'll have to climb up on Sleipnir yourself, says Odin. I'm too weak to lift you. Oh, I hate getting old.
This all-powerful father of the gods can't lift a child onto a horse? No wonder he can't get rid of a house guest.
His arms are little sticks.
What if he just gave his arms to the horse? It's like, I'm going to use these arms and grow them into 4 more legs for the horse.
Oh, did he lend his arms to the horse to give him extra legs? Oh, yeah.
You look down, it's just like his arms like ratchetly stapled to the horse.
Hi-ho, Silvero, take my legs.
Horse is like,
My leg. You mount the horse and help Odin up. I thought you were immortal, you tell him. Odin sighs ruefully.
None of the gods is truly immortal.
Not without life alert.
Okay.
You see, Odin continues, the goddess Idun feeds us magical golden apples that prevent us from aging. Gulveig has made so unhappy that she's fled Asgard and taken the apples with her. Now we're all growing old with alarming speed.
Oh, that bitch.
Yeah.
It's the Santa Claus gift. Just...
Yeah. So selfish.
Agreed. Odin snaps the reins and Sleipnir breaks into a gallop. You try to keep track of the path you take, but the countryside whizzes by in a blur. Finally, Sleipnir comes to a halt at the base of a vast, radiant rainbow.
This is the bridge between Midgard, your world, and Asgard, says Odin.
With a lurch, Sleipnir dashes up the rainbow. He stops in a broad, green plain gleaming with golden palaces.
How beautiful, you exclaim. I can't wait to explore Asgard. You slide off Sleipnir.
There's no time to waste, Odin reminds you sternly. Each day we grow older.
Should I look for and the apples first, or should I try to lure Gulveig away, you ask.
Odin shrugs wearily.
My mind is muddled. Do whatever you think is best.
Okay, so we can search for and get the apples, or get rid of, try and get rid of Gulveig.
Personally, I think I'm on the side of apples, because if we at least get, you know, Thor and Odin up to strength, and then we find Gulveig, we'll be like, hey, bitch, we got a power hammer, and we got all the powers of fucking Asgard at our side.
I just got one question. What the fuck was the Gulveig? What is that?
Gulveig is the witch that is taking...
She's the rude house guest.
The
Airbnb attendant who will not leave and leaves one star reviews.
I mean, we were kind of asked to do that first.
So I guess it comes down to if we... Will Gulveig leave when we ask her?
I guess we
do have the trumpet.
Yeah, the trumpet of terror.
Here's the thing, if she takes the horn? Then she's a bad, loud house guest.
And then she's just a thief. And then we have grounds to...
evict her.
With what? Odin's aging?
Call the super police, you know.
That's Thor.
The god police. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Thor. He's like, yeah, he stole my trumpet.
He's the god police.
Fear not, little brother.
Yeah, I'm gonna go for that one.
The Gulveig?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. It's because if we go to Einan without getting rid of Gulveig, I feel like it'll be harder to convince her to come back if the rude house guest that she left because of is still there.
So that's two against one, right? Two against Jack?
That is fair. That is two against one.
Did you vote for...
I voted for the apples.
Okay. Yep, I'm voting for Gulveig. So... so depending if this works out, Jack, you're gonna have to drink.
I know. For a second, I thought you were doing me the symbol for like distance away from the mic. I'm like, I'm a very good distance. I'm keeping my projection loud. But yes, if this is wrong, I will be a man of my word and do my drinking.
Okay. So we're going with Gulveig. Turn to page 19.
Let's see how this pans out.
I'll try to think of a way to lure Gulveig out of Asgard. You tell Odin. Do you have any suggestions?
That's it! We'll burp her out!
Odin sighs with exasperation.
If I had suggestions, I wouldn't have asked you for help in the first place.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, he's got a point.
It's called Asgard, not Ask God. That was just lame enough to work.
Boo, get off the stage.
We are not on a stage, Dylan.
He rubs his brow.
Those cursed Norns. It's all their fault.
Who are the Norns, you ask?
The Normies.
They are the three sisters who spin the threads of fate for gods and human beings alike, he answers. If only they'd spun more carefully, we probably wouldn't have this problem.
Do you think the Norns could spin Gulveig's destiny again, you ask?
I don't know, says Odin. It's been 2 or 3 years since I've had to deal with those sisters. You know, we've gotten out of touch, you know. I'm not sure I still have their number. It might have changed.
It would be awkward.
We did see them at the barbecue when Heimdall hosted. It was a lovely affair, but they were just hogging the potato salad. It was an awkward endeavor by the end.
We didn't send them a Christmas card, and honestly, I just don't want to deal with that right now.
Also, Loki may have kidnapped one of their favorite pigs. Don't ask why.
They've never taken kindly to my suggestions.
Why don't I show you Gulveig? Maybe after you've seen her, you'll think of something.
Like the trumpet you're fucking wearing! Was...
Can we just...
He asked us because we had the trumpet. But for reasons, we can't use the trumpet to get rid of that rude house cat.
Let's be real. Odin has got a great reputation, but seeing the man in action just from our interactions with him, he needs to step down. And he's like, what could we possibly do? Use the horn.
Okay, so we can either go straight to Gulveig or try to persuade the Norns to help us get rid of Gulveig.
Oh, my God.
The three faces.
The last fucking question was go to her or get somebody to help you out.
Now it's
go
you
to
sure?
her or get somebody to help you out.
Yeah, pretty much. I feel like they're trying to guide us somewhere.
Well,
no.
Maybe we should not go straight to her.
But we've got the... whatever.
Maybe we can at least get some...
What do you
want to
do?
Let's get some backup from the fates. Let's get some backup.
We want to talk to the fates?
Yeah, I'd say let's at least go to the fates, be like, hey.
It's kind of what this book is telling us to do, it sounds like.
Or we could double down and just be ballsy and just like, fuck it, show me Gulveig.
Okay. You want to bet the drinks? You do it, yeah. Jack. You take all of our drinks for it.
All right.
I wager 2 drinks.
There's 3 people here. Can you count?
I meant like 2 sips of the drink. Fuck it. Okay, you know what? My vote, I think we should go to the fates. Final decision on my part.
Yeah, I'd rather go to the fates. If that's what the book says twice.
Let's go to the fates too. All right, if the fates kill us, we're all going to drink a lot if we go to the... Because I'm thinking that too.
The fates aren't going to kill us.
Probably. Okay.
First page. You're dead.
We're going to the fates.
All right, says Odin. You'll find the Norns by the root of Yggdrasil. I'll show you how to get there.
Odin leads you to 2 rainbow bridges at the edge of Asgard. There you see a god you see a god dressed entirely in white, from his boots to his winged helmet. He waves to you and Odin.
This is my son Heimdall, guardian of our rainbow bridges, Odin tells you.
To Heimdall, he explains,
my young friend from Midgard is going to ask the Norns to change the fate of Gulveig. I know we don't allow human beings to travel the bridge there, but you'll have to make an exception today.
We don't allow it, but fuck it.
This 9-year-old is cool. He's got a horn.
Okay, so I have an idea for Heimdall. Since he's, in fact, the guardian of the Rainbow Connection, I've got an idea. Heimdall strokes his snowy beard.
This is our most fragile bridge. It is purely light and vapor. I doubt anyone but a god or goddess could safely tread on it.
I was not thinking what you were going with that, but I approve.
Mm-hmm. Rainbow Connection, bitches. All right. Is there any other way to the Norns, you ask?
Well, yes, says Heimdall. You could try rafting down the Cloud River, but I must warn you, it is more turbulent than any you've ever seen. What's more, it's full of shards of ice that will slice you to ribbons if you fall in the water. Yeah!
Odin nervously twists his gnarled hands.
Both routes have their share of danger. Thank Yggdrasil, you have the Trumpet of Terror to help you.
So now we remember the fucking trumpet. So we can either try and cross the Rainbow Bridge or try this cloud river full of ice and death.
So, well, I mean, let's try the Rainbow Bridge then.
Let's do the Bifrost Bridge.
Yeah, the Rainbow Bridge. Okay. I'm going to try and call a sudden death here if we're on board. I feel like the cloud river of ice and death that says it will cut us to ribbons.
Is going to cut us to ribbons?
Yeah.
I think so, but it's going to do it. Like, as soon as we go into it, it's just going to be George R.R. Martin in like a hidden desk in a typewriter in the clouds. And he writes our fate like as a brutal fucking death.
Yeah, I'm going to bet against Jack that's not what's going to be there.
That's a joke, Dylan.
Yeah.
That is a joke.
Yeah, you said we could bet against whatever we want. I'm going to bet that's not going to be there. So no.
Sorry, what did you say again?
He said it's going to be Peter Jackson.
No.
Is that what you said?
George R.R. Martin.
Oh, George R.R. Martin, whatever. Sitting behind a desk. Sitting behind a desk.
No.
No, that's exactly what you said.
I'm gonna bet you
3 drinks that's not what's there.
Hang on.
All right, let's check on this sudden death here. Are we good with the sudden death call?
Sure.
Yeah. All right. So let's turn to this. Shit. Okay. It's not a sudden death on the river of death. All right. So we all drink.
Cheers to regrets, which I now have.
Yeah. Maybe we should have just gone with the rainbow connection.
Now Jack takes a second drink, right?
Yeah, we've got a picture here, and I do not see George R. R. Martin here.
Yeah, I don't either.
Hold up. There is a person on there.
Take your drink.
Take your drink. That is the player character, son.
I tried.
And you failed miserably.
All right. Well, we do see very spicy picture of our player character on a... That's like an 80-degree slant on this river of death on a raft. Like, there's... zero reason he should be able to stand
Jesus.
Up. Yeah.
You know, the Rainbow Bridge sounded too easy. I'm feeling adventurous today.
He's standing on a wall. All
right. So, if you can give me a sturdy raft, I'll take my chances on the Cloud River, you tell Odin and Heimdall.
Then come with me, says Odin. You say goodbye to Heimdall and follow Odin to a boathouse.
Fuck you, Kermit.
You stare in awe at a dozen dragon ships and are a little disappointed when Odin gives you just what you requested, a sturdy but ordinary raft.
Oh, fuck you, Odin.
Son of a bitch.
You see, these are many vessels of my domain, but guess what? I'm not going to give it to you because that would cost gold and money.
You get the loaner boat. Okay.
Tell him what he's won, Heimdall.
The Cloud River runs past the boathouse. You have seen turbulent water before, but nothing like this river. The water glistens with silvery slivers of ice as it crashes over jagged rocks. Do you have any advice? You ask Odin nervously. He shakes his head.
Just hold on tight and keep your hands out of the water. Those bits of ice are as sharp as knives.
Wait, really? Oh, God!
Yeah, Cloud River, my ass. It's knife and death river.
So wait, what if he means by cloud, he means cloud Final Fantasy. So it's all just like ice shards big as his fucking Buster Sword. Okay, that joke is lame. We will edit out in post. Continue.
I'm slapping my face as hard as I can in disbelief that Jack just fucking said that.
Before you say goodbye, the raging current sweeps you away from Asgard. You clutch the raft with all your might. The waves toss you from side to side, but you manage to hang on. Just when you think you've passed the worst of the rapids, you notice that the Cloud River forks in three directions ahead. There are so many decisions.
So many goddamn forks!
Oh my god!
Why didn't anybody pick up any spoons?
Why didn't Odin explain this, you wonder? Quickly, you study the three branches of the river for clues. To the left, you see a pale green mist hovering above the icy waves. To the right, the sky glows with a cool white light. And straight ahead, the river looks calm. The sky is blue. Which is the way to the Norns? So we can go to the left with spooky pale green mist. We've got the right where it's a cool white light in the sky. And straight ahead, which looks normal.
I feel like this is a trap.
Yup.
At least two
of these are traps.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the mist.
Which one?
The green mist.
I feel like that is the right choice, but I also think maybe the white light is. I feel like the normal one is death.
Okay. So what's our decision? Are we going with
What's your decision?
I bet a drink on the green mist.
Okay, green mist. I'm leaning towards that cool white light. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the cool white light as well.
Okay.
All right.
All right, sorry, Jack. So to the right. So we want to turn to the
right. Yeah, fuck that sunny day, right? Who wants that?
Yeah, we definitely don't want to go down the normal path, because that's too
normal easy. Is for nerds.
Watch it actually be that's the path we need to take.
All right, here we go. You shift your weight, and the raft gradually swerves to the right. A swift current carries you towards the softly glowing light. Before long, you pass a clearing. There you see three women shrouded in gray shawls drawing water from a large well.
They must be
the Norns, you tell yourself. Boom. Jack.
I think that means Jack needs to take a drink.
It means Jack.
And I tell myself, why did I try to be cocky?
I tell myself, why are you talking and not drinking?
This is a clear example of our relationship, folks.
Drink. Cocky little freak.
I almost spit my beer out.
Yeah.
Go.
Hold on to that beer.
Good advice from Odin. Hold on to your beer, lad.
Okay. Must be the name. You grab onto a tree that bends over the river and scramble through the branches to shore. The raft floats away down the Cloud River without you. As you walk towards the I hope you don't need the boat.
Yeah,
as
no
you
kidding.
Walk towards the Norns, you hear a faint, high-pitched hum. You're not sure why, but the sound sends shivers up your spine. Hello, you call to the three sisters.
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
Hi.
Hey, girls.
The humming noise stops abruptly. They whirl around to face you. Except for their soft gray eyes and slender hands, the Norns are draped with layers and layers of filmy cloth. They look pale and shadowy.
It's been a while since we left the house. We've been watching Lord of the Rings trilogy over and over again.
All right, let's see if this works.
Why have you come here?
Asks one sister in a strange droning voice.
Fucking hell. Why have you not...
My throat hurts for you, John.
Why have you not used Mucinex?
Hopefully they don't talk a lot.
Rest of the book is just them.
Technically, there's three of them, so you have to do different types of, like, vocal fry.
Okay. I've come to see the work you do, you tell the Norns. Will you show me how you spin? That's not why you came here. You want to gain their confidence before you ask a favor. Okay, Dev.
We're getting really off schedule with this guy. Like, he doesn't know what he wants.
The sisters huddle together. Their voices buzz softly, but you can't understand a word they say. The relentless hum unnerves you. Finally, one of the Norns tells you.
No one has ever asked.
No, okay. Nope.
Yeah.
No one has ever asked to see our spinning before, but we think it's all right to show you.
Each of the women picks up a... Okay, sure, why not? Each of the women picks up a golden spindle and twists some gray fibers into slender, silvery threads.
And then choke the shit out of you.
Is that wool? You ask, pointing to the fibers.
Oh, no, replies one sister. That is the stuff of dreams and danger, hopes and hardships, wishes and war. You can't spin fate from ordinary wool.
Duh.
Each thread is someone's life,
explains another Norn. Some
are strong, others are fragile. We spin some threads that seem to go on forever, while others we snip short. We twine some lives together neatly and tangle others with tight knots.
Could you show me the thread of Govaeg's fate? You ask. Just, you know,
subtle.
Hypothetically.
Oh, that's totally cool. Example. I love the way you do your process. Can you bring up this one specific person, please?
The Norns murmur among themselves, then begin sorting through skeins of thread. Skeins? Skeins?
I don't know.
Skeins!
The Norns murmur among themselves, then begin sorting through skeins. I'm going to go with skeins. Skeins of thread.
Yeah,
says one sister, handing you the end of a long, sturdy piece of yarn. Golveig is making the Aesir gods miserable, you explain. Would it be possible for you to re-spin her fate so she won't interfere in Asgard? Okay. They all three sound at once, so here we go. We're going to try doing all three voices at once.
Oh, you mean like exciting. All three of us? Like we each do a voice?
No.
No, I'm going to try something.
Okay.
Impossible. We will never change what we spin.
They chorus. Please, you cry. You can't believe you've risked your life for nothing.
Bro, come on, dude.
Give you the cry of the gods. Ready, please?
Never.
You realize you'll have to change Golveig's thread of fate yourself, and quickly, before they take back the yarn. Oh, this is a terrible idea.
And Odin's just watching this. He's letting it happen.
Oh, shit. No, he's nowhere near here.
I thought he came with us.
Nope.
Well, fuck Odin.
Did you see that? There's no room for them both on that raft.
Not for Odin's ego.
You have to let one go into the depths of the ocean.
I'll never let you go, Jack.
JK, I'm going to let you go in about 10 seconds.
JK, Dylan will be kicking Jack into the iceberg. Be like, oh no, he let go.
So our options,
you're the first to go, Jack.
So our options here are to re-spin Golveig's thread of fate or to cut the thread in half with your knife.
Wait, we have a knife?
If we cut the thread, it's going to kill somebody, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Golveig will just be... she'll probably just be dead.
So re-spin it.
But if we cut Goldveig's thread entirely, will then the witches try to fuck us over by cutting our thread?
Probably. I'm saying, like, both of these options, I feel like, lead to us being fucked over.
No, do the first...
Re-spin? Re-spin I'm on the... Between the two, they both sound horrible, but I'm going to go with re-spin.
Doesn't make sense to cut it.
I'll just go with the re-spinning, because if I say cut, then that's going to fuck us over. Or at the very least... We'll bet drinks, and I'm going to lose, and I'll drink again.
Do we want to do a sudden death bet on the cutting the thread?
Should we?
I vote yay.
That is about as sudden death as it gets. All right, yeah. Sudden death bet on the cutting the thread in half.
Watch it actually be like you.
Aha.
It was something.
Without a moment's hesitation, you grab your knife and deftly slice Golveig's thread of fate in half. The Norns gasp with horror. They snatch the two pieces of yarn back and study them intently. Then, turning their backs to you, the sisters begin to laugh with low, eerie voices. What's so funny, you shout. I was only trying to help Odin. One of the Norns looks over her shoulder at you and giggles.
You haven't helped Odin at all. You've created two Golveigs and twice as much trouble.
The end. Fuck yeah, sudden death.
Fucking hell.
Wow.
Also, damn.
That's how it ends?
Yeah, that's
a weird way to end it.
Yep, so I'm glad we didn't go with that one. Imagine the movie Hercules with that being the thing where, like, cut it in half, then you create two of them instead.
Well, technically, they're the ones who cut the thread, so they would be creating two of them.
Oh, shit. Okay. This is a hell of a picture, too.
Hey, they still look better than they did in The Witcher 3.
It's true. Oh, God. Any option is better than that. As soon as you try to twist Golveig's thread of fate in a different way, it becomes tangled with thousands of other threads. The Norns struggle to tear the yarn out of your hands, but they only succeed in making the snarls worse. The lives of human beings, gods, goddesses, giants, and demons are hopelessly twisted. Even the nimble fingers of the Norns can't undo the knots. The three sisters weep softly as they examine the mess.
The universe is in chaos now, exclaims one. A young lad from Sandberg named Nils has become father of the gods. And Odin is now a cobbler in Hedeby.
Holy shit.
We put Nils in charge?
Nils is in charge.
That little bitch.
Nils, fuck you, man.
Look, cries another Norn. Ships are now steered by captains who have never before laid eyes on the sea. Whole nations are ruled by cow milkers and stable hands.
Politics, am I right?
The third sister pulls at an especially tangled piece of yarn and glares at you.
This is the thread of your fate,
asks the third sister.
When you return to Midgard, you will try to tell people about your adventure here, but no one will believe you. They will think you are a liar. You are destined to be shunned and exiled from your home.
The end.
Are you serious? That's even worse. We just fucked over the entire hierarchy.
We fucked up, like, the entire known universe.
Okay, so I think it's we all in agreement. We have to kill Nils. Because apparently putting him in charge...
I told you. Nils is fucking Loki from the beginning.
Shit. Well, okay.
He's not. He's just a dick. Loki's going to be working for Nils now. All hail Nils.
All right. I think you've had just about enough. You gotta go. Oh, and see you next time.